Welcome back. 37 past the hour at Faith Radio. It's been 500 years since Martin Luther nailed his list of grievances against the Catholic Church on a church door in Wittenberg, Germany. Five centuries later, significant differences still remain between Protestants and Catholics. Dr. Greg Allison from Southern Baptist Theological Seminary has co-authored a new book on those differences, and he joins us to discuss the unfinished Reformation. Good morning, Greg. Welcome to Faith Radio.
Good morning, Bill. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning.
So to begin with, give us a historical perspective. Explain what was going on in the Catholic Church at the time of the Reformation and what Martin Luther was reacting to.
The Catholic Church at the time of the Reformation was spiritually bankrupt. It was immoral. It was politically engaged. But it was not a gospel-centered church. And Martin Luther, a very rigid and concerned Augustinian monk, a very serious Catholic, we should say then, was disturbed by these developments in the church. And so on October 31st, 1517, he posted a list of grievances on the door of the Wittenberg Church in Germany, calling for a debate on these various topics. And this launched what we now call today the Protestant Reformation.
Now, one of the big issues that Luther was concerned with was this paying of indulgences. Can you explain what that was at the time?
Yes. So the Catholic belief is that most of the Catholic faithful, because they're not completely purified from the stain of their sin during this lifetime, they go to a place called purgatory, in which this taint of sin will be purged from them. The idea of indulgences is that the time that these souls in purgatory need to spend in purgation will be lessened. So people on earth, so the living Catholic faithful, can purchase these indulgences, these release of this temporal punishment for their loved ones, their friends, their neighbors, whose souls are currently in purgatory. And Luther objected to this very vehemently.
So Uncle Bob has passed away, and he's in purgatory. And boy, you don't want him to burn there for a long time. So you pay the Catholic Church X number of dollars to get Uncle Bob out quicker.
That was the idea, and it was egregious, horrific in Luther's times. Since then, after the Council of Trent and after Vatican II, the notion, this crass notion of a financial transaction between a person and the Catholic Church to buy the soul of Uncle Bob out of purgatory, that's changed quite a bit. It's become more moderated and more emphasizing the state of the person who purchases these indulgences. So, for example, this year, in the year of the Jubilee in the Catholic Church, a person can pray, go to confession, go to and participate in the Mass, receive the Eucharist, and engage in a good work, and by doing so can acquire a plenary, a full indulgence for a friend, for a neighbor, for Uncle Bob, whose soul is in purgatory. But the practice, though moderated today, is still in force.
Interesting. I had no idea that it still was. Now, let's talk about Luther's other objections to Catholic doctrine and practice 500 years ago. One of the things that he was most concerned about was that the Catholic Church had departed from Scripture.
Absolutely. According to Catholic theology, there are three authorities in the church. Let's think of it as a three-legged stool. One of them is Scripture. The second is tradition, which is the teaching that Jesus orally communicated to his apostles, who in turn orally communicated that to their successors, the bishops in the church. And this tradition, the Immaculate Conception of Mary, for example, or her bodily assumption into heaven, this tradition is nurtured and fostered in the Catholic Church. The third source of authority is the magisterium, or the teaching office of the church, the pope in conjunction with the bishops. And Luther's concern was that this three-legged approach to authority had undermined the ultimate authority of Scripture, God's Word. And so one of the key points, the key axioms of the Protestant Reformation was sola scriptura. Scripture alone, that is the ultimate authority for Christians and the church.
Mm. Now, Greg, you're co-author on this new book, The Unfinished Reformation. Chris Castaldo is a former Catholic. He worked full-time in the Catholic Church for several years, obviously has a love for the Catholic Church. What caused him to leave the church and become an evangelical?
I think these same things that we've just spoken about, matters like purgatory, indulgence, the whittling away of scriptural authority, really pushed him to the point to say that he could no longer stay within the Catholic Church and had to leave it.
Now, how did the two of you link up? I mean, obviously, coming from very different backgrounds to write this book together.
So a number of years ago, Chris actually came to the church that I pastor here. I'm one of the pastors at Sojourn Community Church in Louisville, Kentucky. We were interviewing him for a possible pastoral position, and so we kind of hit it off as friends. And so we've maintained our contact, our friendship over the years. And several years ago, Anthony Lane, who is a noted theologian, reached out to Chris and said, "Do you know of a resource that would present fairly the commonalities and differences between Catholic and Protestant theology?" Chris was stumped. He talked to several people, including me. I said, "You know, that sounds like a wonderful idea, Chris. What about you and me collaborating to write a book on that?" And then Zondervan took that idea, and the book was released about a month ago.
So let's talk about the positive side of the equation. What are some of the key commonalities, as you said, between Protestants and Catholics in the year 2016?
Most evangelicals overlook the fact that there are these commonalities, matters like the Trinity. Catholics and Protestants alike believe that God eternally exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're different persons sharing the one divine essence. Each of the three persons is fully God. The Father is fully God. The Son is fully God. The Spirit is fully God. But there's only one God. Catholics and Protestants agree completely on that. We agree, for a second example, on the deity and humanity of Jesus Christ. The Son of God, fully God, became incarnate as the God-man Jesus Christ. He has two natures, one divine, one human, that are conjoined, that are united in one person. We believe that. We believe that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He is fully God and engages with non-believers to regenerate them and with Christians to guide them and direct them and so forth. So those are just a few of the 10 commonalities that we discuss in our book.
So we should point out that this book both looks at the differences and the similarities between Catholics and Protestants. The book, once again, is called The Unfinished Reformation. Dr. Greg Allison from Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, one of the two co-authors. We'll take a quick break and be right back here at Faith Radio. Welcome back. It's 48 past the hour. This is the Faith Radio Network. I'm Bill Meyer. My guest is Dr. Greg Allison from Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. He has co-authored a new book on the differences between Protestants and Catholics. It's called The Unfinished Reformation. We were mentioning before the break that Greg's co-author, Chris Castaldo, is a former Catholic, worked full-time in the Catholic Church for several years, now is an evangelical Christian. And we talked about some of the commonalities, the similarities between the Protestant and Catholic tradition and faith. Let's talk about some of the differences, Greg, that still exist between Catholics and Protestants. For example, how does the content of the Bible differ for the two faiths, and how did they interpret it differently?
Yes. So there is a major difference between the technical word is the canon, C-A-N-O-N, the canon of Scripture, or the books that rightly belong in the inspired Word of God. We as evangelicals, as Protestants, we have 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. The Catholic Church has the exact same New Testament as we do. There is a difference, however, in the books in the Old Testament. The Catholic Old Testament contains seven additional books, for example, Tobit and Judith and 1st and 2nd Maccabees, and longer versions of our Esther and Daniel. So we as Protestants do not have those books in our Old Testament because they were not in the Bible of Jesus and the Apostles. And they were not accepted in the early church as being part of the inspired Word of God. So we have a difference when it comes to the content of the Old Testament.
And how about the interpretation of Scripture, Greg? What are the differences there?
For the Catholic Church, there is an official interpreter of the Bible, and that is the magisterium, this teaching office of the church, particularly the Pope. So whatever the magisterium declares to be the interpretation of a passage of Scripture, that is its interpretation. So those scholars, Catholic scholars, may disagree over some of the nuances and some of the ideas of the interpretation. Eventually, they must yield to the interpretation that is officially proclaimed by the Catholic magisterium, the hierarchy. We as Protestants do not have anything even approximating that notion of an official interpreter of the Bible. We encourage, because of the clarity of Scripture, each Christian to read and study and meditate upon and memorize, learn from and apply Scripture. But we also encourage the role of our pastors, our elders, our ministers, whatever we call them, to help guide us as members of the church in the proper understanding and application of Scripture. So it's not like we invite just free interpretation. It's not chaos in terms of interpretation of the Bible, but we do encourage individual grappling with Scripture and also the guidance of God's appointed teachers and pastors in the church.
Now, before the break, Greg, we mentioned the role that tradition plays in the Catholic Church. How is that elevated? How is it different from what Protestants might believe about church history, church tradition?
Let's call the Catholic tradition capital T tradition. And again, this is the communication that Jesus orally passed down to his apostles, who in turn orally communicated that to their successors, the bishops in the church. And this is on the same level of authority as Scripture because it is considered to be part of divine revelation. So there's the capital T tradition in the Catholic Church. The Protestant Church disagrees with this notion of tradition, that is the capital T tradition. We do not believe that there is a mode of divine revelation that is different from and in addition to the written Word of God, Scripture. We do have a concept of tradition. Let's call it small T tradition. That is wisdom from the past, a sound biblical interpretation, sound theological understanding that we inherit from our predecessors. This is a wonderful legacy. It's a wonderful heritage that we enjoy, and we would be foolish to ignore it. It's not on the same level as Scripture. It must be approved by Scripture. It must meet the touchstone of Scripture. So we're not without some form of tradition. We just don't consider it to be capital T tradition on the same level of authority as the Bible.
So then where would these two things come up against each other when it comes to differences between Protestants and Catholics, where a tradition might supersede or in some way contrast with what we might interpret Scripture to be saying?
And this is the interesting reality, isn't it? It's the difficulty of having two authorities. It's like a two-headed monster. One head will devour the other. So let's give a very practical example. Scripture tells us that all people have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's not one person who is righteous. There's not one person who can say, I have never sinned. According to Catholic tradition, capital T tradition, there is one person who was conceived without sin, born without sin, lived her entire life without sin, and therefore died having never sinned, and she is the mother of Jesus Christ, Mary. So here we have Scripture versus tradition on the issue of sinfulness. And notice which of these two authorities wins. It's tradition. Here we have a major conflict.
I think a lot of Protestants may not be aware of that particular belief. How about the office of the Pope, Greg? Help us understand the role the Pope plays in the Catholic Church.
Yes, the Pope is the vicar of Christ, the representative of Jesus Christ on earth. So he is the absolute ruler and teacher and sanctifier of the Catholic Church. He when he speaks from the chair of Peter, when he speaks ex cathedra, making a pronouncement on matters of faith, doctrine, morals, the Catholic Church believes that he is granted the gift of infallibility such that his pronouncements cannot err. And so he leads the Catholic Church. He governs the Catholic Church. He is the supreme teacher. He is the one that that emphasizes the sacraments of the Catholic Church for sanctification of the Catholic faithful. Those are just some of the aspects of the papacy in the Catholic Church.
So, Greg, just about a minute left. Do you believe Catholics and Protestants are going to simply need to agree to disagree on some of the points we've discussed, or do you see the potential for a movement closer toward one another?
Ultimately, I do not believe that Catholics and Protestants will come to a common accord on these 15, 16 differences that we list in our book and we discuss in our book. I think the two traditions, the two branches of Christianity, while having these commonalities, which we applaud and we rejoice in that, still are very deeply divided by these differences. And so, is the Reformation finished? We believe not. It's unfinished. We encourage people, Protestants and Catholics, to engage in conversation about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the heart, that's the core of the Christian faith. And let's emphasize that as we acknowledge our commonalities and rejoice in them, but also are very honest and straightforward about our remaining differences.
Well said. Dr. Greg Ellison from Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. The book is called The Unfinished Reformation. Thanks for your time, Greg.
Thanks very much, Bill. I enjoyed it.